Welcome to Real Weddings with Sarah. I'm Sarah Kennedy from The Isle by Sarah Kennedy, one of Ireland's leading sources for wedding inspiration, advice and support. Real Weddings with Sarah brings you an inside scoop of some of Ireland's best loved personalities and celebrity weddings, as well as some stellar wedding advice. Join me as I indulge on all the wedding gossip.
Welcome back to this season's podcast. I can't believe I'm back. After all this time off, here I am bringing you the Bridal Suite series right here in the glorious Station House Hotel in Kilmessan. So my first couple of episodes are going to be right here in this gorgeous bridal suite. This is the master suite. It is absolutely stunning. And there's also a second bridal suite, which is the Signal Box, which is the little house that stands outside. So you can learn more over at stationhousehotel.ie. This season's podcast is proudly sponsored by Aurelia Cosmetic Clinics, covering your bridal beauty prep from facial treatments, skin correction, right through to Botox and surgical procedures. You can learn more over on Aurelia.ie. Oh, welcome back. So today's episode is an absolutely fantastic one now, because like many of you, you're right at the starting point of getting planning. So I've got the perfect guest who's going to bring you through their experience. I'm joined today by Aideen Fitzmaurice, who most of you will know as a phenomenal journalist, content creator, but I'm sure you've been tuning in to her series where she toured the entire country looking at wedding venues and brought you so many resources. She's sharing her journey as she goes, keeping a little bit to herself to keep it all very nice and private. But today she's joining me to talk about her experience to date. Aideen, you are so welcome.
Thank you so much.
It's so exciting. I have been dying to catch up with you for ages. I think when I first saw you started doing, I think it was probably on TikTok, I started seeing you going around venues and I'm like, oh, she's very good at showcasing venues, because I'd be a bit snobby about it coming from my background doing show arounds. And I'm like, oh yeah, she's great. So tell me, first of all, how are you finding the whole thing?
Well, I found the venue hunting actually quite stressful.
As you do.
Because I think the mistake we made was we went to see too many. I would keep it on
the five. Content, however, Aideen, great content.
Great content.
All in the name of Instagram.
Yes. And like, it's so funny. I was with my fiance only a week or two ago and he was like, I kind of miss that stage.
It is a nice project.
It's like going on a date.
I know.
And it's like just you and your partner, and it's all kind of, you know, it's like, where are we going today? What county are we hitting today?
It is exciting. It is. But there does come a point where you're like, I want my weekends back.
100%.
Like, we've now done 10 weekends. Can we get one back? Well, look, take us back to the start. How did you and John meet? How did you meet?
We met 8 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, we're together a long time. So originally, we were both on a kids' TV program. I was a TV presenter in a past life on TG Cahir.
Loving this.
Yeah, with my best friend. We got a show when we were in our second year of college.
What was the show?
It was called Whack. It's still on TV. I only got a video of my niece watching it the other day and it was just so gorgeous. But we're essentially in a boxing ring and it's about animals and they're like battling out who's the fastest, who's the strongest, who's the most clever. And it was all in Irish. So
I love this.
Best summer of my life. But he was a voiceover actor on the show. So he was doing the voices for all these animals.
The animals. Oscailge.
Oscailge, yeah. So I heard him before I saw him.
Right.
Yeah.
Did he do, like, so what animals are we talking about here?
Oh,
he can do all of them. And he had a great voice for each of them.
So he does. That's like one of his kind of strands to his bow, that he does TG Cahir, like, voiceover stuff. He's been in the SpongeBob movie, Oscailge. He's done loads of stuff. Yeah, he was Keanu Reeves in the SpongeBob movie. Yeah.
He's the Gaelga Keanu Reeves.
Yes,
wow.
Exactly.
You bagged a good one there.
I did. But I kind of, I knew who he was at this point, but we hadn't met.
Okay.
So then fast forward another 2 years and I join a cohort of creatives in a YouTube channel called The Try Channel. And essentially...
Oh, I didn't know this about you. Okay.
So two people sit in a room, you're given Japanese snacks or beef jerky and you eat it and you talk about it. And he was part of the channel and I was part of the channel. And he did a video with, it was a Father's Day video.
Okay.
And it was him and his brother and his dad. And I watched it and I said, he is my dream man. I just...
And did you remember him from that time going back to the animal voiceovers?
Yeah, I knew of him.
Yeah,
and
okay.
And he had a YouTube channel at the time for like, it was kind of like The Den on YouTube.
Yes.
So I ended up interviewing him about it when I was in my master's.
Okay.
Because I was doing my master's on like social media and stuff. And I thought this was kind of interesting that someone was, you know, let's say RTE Kids and stuff was on the decline. So he took it upon himself. So
to self-start and carve out a path for himself. Okay.
So as someone who was into social media, I was like, this is interesting. People are now creating their own like broadcasting roles. So
yes.
I had interviewed him. So I definitely knew who he was. But it was after I saw that video, I remember just being like, he's my dream man. I don't know what it is, but I'm so drawn to him.
Yeah.
And only a couple.
Just kind of like a. Cosmic, no explanation, no, just that's it's him.
A big energy kind of shift, just like, yeah. A couple of weeks later, I met him in person. And again, I just felt this like, it's like an energy, or like, it was as if there was a weight of a lifetime there that was ahead could like feel impending or something. But he had a girlfriend. Yes.
Oh, stop.
Yes, yes, yes. So that was the end of my.
That was you nipped it in the bud.
Oh, I did. I just got on with my life. And fast forward another year, and we're all out, the YouTube channel, and one of the girls grabs me and she goes, guess who's single? I said, no, he's not, because everyone knew I was besotted with this man. And she said, he is.
And did he know you were besotted with him?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
Because we hadn't had that much contact.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It was very kind of, I had met him a couple of times, but I just, you know, I just really fancied him. So I downed my drink and over I went, and then we started texting from then.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And like, so obviously you had this built up in your head. Did he know about you? Did he, or was it just when you went up for that chat that he actually started? Okay, he then took note of you.
I would say so, because he was coming off the back. He was only a couple of months out of a long-term relationship.
Okay.
So he definitely wasn't maybe as like open to his next opportunity as I was, if you get me. Because I was single a long time at that point.
I'm here.
Yeah.
But ready when you are.
Yeah. But I was 22 and he was 30. So like it was at that time, I think it took a bit of time for his friends and everything to see this as like, okay, they're actually like,
they're serious about each other. Okay. Yeah. And so how long from that point to when you got engaged, what was the time difference between that? Or was it pretty quick? Like,
oh no. We just got engaged in June.
So, but when did you get together? That was 8 years ago.
Oh, sorry. That was 8 years ago. Yeah. So we got together. That was maybe in like, we started dating in like December. So like around this time, 8 years ago. And then we got in a relationship in June.
Got you. Okay. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
And then from.
And so you've done the good steady courtship now.
Of
so
course.
We know we're onto a winner.
Yes.
Like you've lived together, you've done all that. Okay. So the proposal then.
Yes.
Did you know it was coming?
Absolutely.
Did you know when it was coming?
No, but I had an idea.
Right. So did you go on? So tell us about the proposal.
Okay. It's actually kind of funny because the day before it happened, I text my friend and said, it's not happening on this trip. Because I just had a feeling like we had talked about timelines. We knew it was going to come up around our like.
And particularly if you're together this long.
Yeah.
Like nobody is like, no, I had no idea it wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, like you've had the conversation because you have to get serious if you're 8 years in, you know.
We had been to look at rings, you know, it definitely wasn't like a secret that it was coming up.
Yeah.
And a place that's very, very special to us is Doolin. So we go there for our anniversary every single year.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like, I feel like it's probably going to happen in Doolin because it's such a special place for us.
Yeah.
So when we go to Doolin, we also go to the Aran Islands.
Yeah.
And that's like a trip that we do every single year. So he totally threw me off guard though, because on the way there, we were hopping into the camper van and I was like, oh no, I forgot my makeup. And he goes, sure, you won't need it. So then I was like, okay, it's not happening.
It must not
be happening. So I was totally not thinking of it actually when the time came around. So we went to Inishere, rented bikes. We had our dog with us and we cycled out to our favourite place on the island that we had. Like, if anybody ever asked me my favourite day, I used to always say we went to the lighthouse on Inishere. The sun was beaten down. We went swimming. We just had such a magical day. So we went back there and that's where it happened.
And so you were completely off guard.
Totally off guard. Yeah, because
it is hard when you're with somebody that long to actually surprise them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it needs to be a moment where it's not full of grandeur. It's like the least expected moment.
And that was it. Like if, you know,
so
the proposal videos obviously online. I'm in an Aran jumper. I'm in like grubby runners.
Love
I wasn't. But that was very on brand for us. And it was just perfect. And he asked me in Irish because we're both Irish language speakers. And then we went to the pub and we had a pint of Guinness and it was just gorgeous.
Oh, that is just fantastic.
Yeah.
And so you have this beautiful proposal. You come home.
Yeah.
Do you take a bit of time out to start just enjoying the engagement? Or did you like straight away you're thinking in your head, this is what we're going to do? Like, which way did you go? Were you A or B?
Try guess.
I'd say you were B. Yeah. So you were straight in. I was. No messing.
Spreadsheet open.
You're dead right. Well, although I do say you need to take your time. Yeah. But anyway, so ring is on the finger.
Yeah.
The spreadsheet's open.
Yeah.
No, an hour later.
Yeah.
What are we dealing with? What did you jump in straight away with?
Well, the funny thing is, I'm very type A. He's very type B, right?
Okay.
So he went for a nap a couple of days after we got engaged. Or maybe it was the day after we got engaged. Yeah, I think it probably was. And he woke up and I was like, so I've narrowed it down to 5 venues. And he was like, Aideen, I'm going to put you on pause. We're not allowed to talk about this for like 4 weeks. And I was like, okay. So we just enjoyed the engagement for a month and it was actually gorgeous.
And that's it, because so many people miss that lovely phase at the start where you actually get to just go, oh, we're engaged.
Yeah.
Let's celebrate it, because they're so caught up with, how much, like 100%. You need to just pause.
So
I love that.
You know, for all those type A girlies who are going through the wedding phase, if you're with a type B partner, I think you can find
that
dynamic quite difficult.
Yeah, Owen would have levelled me out as well when I was losing the run. Yeah.
Take the type B on board, because it doesn't have to get done straight away.
And you know, the more you rush into it, more likely you're going to have regrets later.
Yes.
Because you go, I didn't really think that through because I was so caught up in it and 100%. Loads of things were coming at me.
Yeah.
So you had to chill the bean for 4 weeks.
Yes.
So 4 weeks came and you were like, scrapbook ready, Pinterest boards, here we go. So when you started your planning, you started with the venue, of course, because you can't get a date without it. Like, what was the criteria going through your head? Like, what were you thinking?
First thing was exclusive. Had to be exclusive.
Gotcha.
I was very sure of that because I just... with the Instagram profile and everything, I just didn't want on my wedding day to be in a reception of a hotel and a guest to take a photo and
of
it to go
course,
up on some
book.
It's such an outrageous consideration.
Yeah, but you have to consider it. You do. Like, you think, oh God, but that can happen.
Yeah. And weddings are very emotionally, up and down. And I think your anxieties are going to get at their highest.
Yeah.
So if I had a shred of that being an anxiety on my wedding day, that would really interfere with my day.
Yeah. So if you can control it, control the controllables.
Control the controllables.
So just before we go any further, like, the fact is that you have a substantial social media following. You've had your TV bits, you write for the news. You do all of these sort of things. So you are a very high profile and there's a lot of brides with eyes on you because they are really like intensely following what you're doing at the moment. Do you feel there's a pressure to live up to a certain expectation? Do you find you're comparing? Like, where is that anxiety sitting at the moment?
I think that is an interesting question because I think it depends on the day.
Okay.
I think at the crux and at the core of things, I'm very like, we're just doing it our way.
Gotcha.
And I live my life by I never want to be flash or to be like, look at everything I've got that you don't have or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm very careful about focusing on the things that matter.
Yeah.
So like for me.
And the things that matter to you guys.
Exactly.
You know.
So I think you can find yourself on like bad days getting caught up in comparison or getting caught up in, well, they did this, should we be doing that? Or is that wrong if we do that? Or blah, blah, blah.
Or I've seen this online and this
Absolutely.
Is what they're saying. Yeah.
But I think it's just like, take a breath. Mm-hmm. And just think about all that actually matters on the day is that you're marrying the love
and
of your life.
And what are you actually going to remember when you walk away?
100%.
What are those core things? So, and I think you're in a really good space, but you probably will find in the lead up, you start panicking.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we were even talking to Fionnuala, who's on the previous podcast, and she was like, I don't have enough entertainment. I need entertainment, dotted throughout the thing. It's just these wheels come off. And I see it with girls as well, getting in touch with me going, what I need to add something, like, I don't know, like a photo booth, a candy cart or whatever. I'm like, look, if you really want that, add it in. But do you need to have it there on top of everything else that you already have? You're probably covered. But it is. It's very stressful.
Mm-hmm.
So, you started out, you started the venue piece, right? Did you realise that when you started your venue tours that they were going to be so followed and...
Well, I think it's something that people are very interested in and I'm very transparent with what I thought about and, the highlights for me and why we might not have chosen something, but also the price.
Of course.
And I think a lot of people skirt around the price. So I was just like, this is how much it is, just to let you all know.
Yeah.
Because I also found we were going to so many venues.
And they won't give you the price till you get there.
They won't give you the price till you get there. I was like, we're saving a lot of people. who, you know, we and John always
I'd say the venues were so happy with that.
Oh, well, listen, you know, but at the end of the day,
transparency is really important, I feel.
I think it is. Yeah. And I, to be fair now, any of the prices I did share were the ones that were available online. Mm-hmm. So like you can just get it on the, you know, on the
it's
website
available,
or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was really, I knew when I was making that video, I thought that is something that I think will get people to watch and to, not that I was posting it to get people to watch.
No, but you thought it would be helpful.
I thought it was valuable.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That's what I care about when I make my content, is that it's valuable and that it's given, like maybe there's a couple and they've really busy lives, really busy jobs, and they can only go to two or three viewings. Well, if they saw my series.
And if you were on the, if those venues were on the list,
it gives them a really good perspective of whether something's right for them or not.
Yeah.
So that was my goal.
That was your mindset.
Really. Yeah.
And when you started looking at venues, because the venue piece is so significant, it's the biggest chunk of money you're going to spend. Like, was there anything really that you didn't expect to see or that was really kind of, that took you, you know, really kind of caught you off guard when you did start to go through the dynamics of what's required at a venue?
Yeah, I think it was the complication of day two. Like most venues that we went to, I found day two was quite
either they
difficult.
Couldn't do it because they had another wedding coming in, the product wasn't right.
It was kind of around like, well, if you get married on a Thursday, sure, you can't have day two on a Friday because it's a prime wedding day.
Yeah.
Or if you get married on day two, you still have to pay a venue hire fee. You have to.
So it's the same as having a second wedding.
Exactly. You have to pay around €70 a head for food. And a lot of people drop out on day two because they're hungover.
And you don't really know until the day.
And then you're after fronting this huge, essentially second wedding cost. So that was a big learning for me. And initially I was quite steadfast that we wanted day two to be in the same venue. And actually we've decided not to do that now.
Yeah.
Based on finding a venue.
And going for
a little
bit more of a casual affair, I presume.
Because we're pub people, you know.
You love your pints
of Guinness. We're pub people.
Yeah.
So I was like, I really want to just be sitting with a pint of Guinness and an Aaron jumper on day two of my wedding.
See, and that's what I'll do.
And
that's you.
Yeah.
That's it. I think so many people get lost as well in their wedding planning. And I don't know if you've come across this yet, thinking about what other people need. And of course, we want to create a lovely day for a guest, but you lose sight of what's important to you because you're compromising to give everybody else the day that you want them to have as well. So it's
100%.
It's a hard line. So once you booked, and you're getting married in 2027, so you're like on top of the world. Have you got pretty much everything booked?
Pretty much everything, yeah.
So talk to me, right? So you got the venue done and dusted, which you're not going to reveal, which absolutely you're dead right. I know the venue.
Yep.
I love the venue.
I'm so delighted to hear that.
I cannot say one bad thing about that venue. Love, love, love it. It's going to be amazing.
Great.
It's going to be amazing.
It's in the west of Ireland. Oh. That's kind of, you know, something that was important to us because we love the west of Ireland so much. And I'd love to do like a sea swim on day two, provided we're not dying. But like,
oh, you'll get it.
Just
you
all
will.
The, you know, there's something about the west coast and where the hotel is. It's actually funny. I've had
it's so accessible.
It's so accessible. Mm. There's loads of hotels around. So it's, you know, available to people, whatever budget they want to stay.
Yeah.
But also I've had some really big life moments in that county. It's where my granny's from. It's where I went to quit my job. I was so scared. I booked an Airbnb there and I just for a week stayed there. And I said, right, the day I quit
my job, I'm
going to run into the Atlantic. And there's just such a magic over there.
Yeah.
So it's just an area that means a lot.
So and you feel quite connected to it.
I feel really connected to
it. You'll have a lovely day. So once you booked then your venue, what was next on the list? What was really important to you to get?
Definitely a content creator, photographer, videographer.
So it's so funny because now when I speak to people, it used to be photographer, I don't know about a videographer. And then there was this new content creator piece coming in. But you're now number one. You went content creator and everything else is coming secondary.
Oh, yeah.
So talk to me about that.
Yes. So I'm obviously a content creator by trade. So I really value it as a job. And I've seen so many content creators come up on my Instagram page doing weddings.
Brilliant.
And they're
the
stunning.
Weddings. Yeah.
It's so organic.
Yeah.
You know, it's the stuff that you're going to get turned around before, you know, you have to wait a couple of months for your wedding video.
Yeah.
So just to have that, to just like relish in it while you maybe go on your mini moon or your honeymoon or whatever you decide to do. That was really important to me. And I have a good friend who's one of the best wedding content creators
in
the country.
Say who it is?
Anya Leach.
Oh, she's your friend of the show.
Yes,
Anya's been on the podcast.
Yes.
We love Anya. She's amazing.
I've known Anya as long as I've been living in Dublin.
She is phenomenal.
She really is.
She's a good one.
Yeah.
Love
so
that.
I had even said to her before we got engaged, I was like, I need you and whatever.
I don't know what date.
Yeah.
But you will free yourself up.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. So she was the first person.
Such care. And then photographer?
Anoushka. Yeah. Another good friend of mine. So
she's got the A team.
Yeah. But it's so nice to have.
She is phenomenal.
I've known Anoushka a decade, I'd say.
Because was she a content creator and then moved into professional photography?
Yes.
Well, she's hit the industry by storm.
I know.
She is amazing.
She's so talented. Yeah. And I just love her as a person. I feel very, it's so funny. Like a couple of months ago, John and I were sitting in on Drury Street having a glass of wine, and she was walking down the street and she came in, because I'm good friends with her, gave a hug, and she says, whenever you guys decide to get engaged, I would love to photograph your wedding.
Well, I can't say no to that.
Well, but I was like, well, I'm glad you're on the same page as me, because I can't, like, I was just so set on her.
Yeah.
So I'm so excited to have her. Yeah. And I know that she'll just capture.
She will. She'll capture the heart, and particularly when she knows you, because I think when you're booking wedding suppliers, I think it's a real personality thing.
Yeah.
Like, I knew my photographer because I worked there on shoots in work. Mm-hmm. So she got me and I got her. And I think that for those sort of things, you need someone who just gets you on the day and 100%. Understands and you can vibe with. Some people love those militant ones who are going to run your day and that gives you security. And then you want a friend who's going to guide you along.
Yeah.
And you're going to do a videographer.
Yes.
So you're doing the full
media. We're doing the full whammy.
The full media.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to say who your videographer is?
Yeah, we have Little Bear.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So originally, the videographer conversations, the only one that we weren't sure on.
And you know what? That's always been the case.
Yeah.
Irrespective of content creators or anything, that's always been a, like, should we get one? Should we not? Everybody's biggest regret is not getting a videographer.
Okay, that's good
to know. So that's so important. Little Bear.
We found a videographer that we loved, and he's based in the south of France, and he's done these incredible videos online. Okay. So we got in contact with him, but he was going to be costing us around €8,000. To get him over.
Never mind.
And to pay for accommodation and whatever else.
Yeah, that's a notions buy.
Yeah. He's incredible.
Yeah.
And he would have been incredible. And he really would have worked very hard.
Think of what you could do with it.
But at the end of the day, we just could not justify the cost.
Yeah, yeah.
So then we were kind of like, oh, we don't even know where to start. So we were looking at a few other videographers, and they were very well priced. You know, mm-hmm. you're talking around like maybe 3-4-ish.
Yeah.
And we were like, great. But then I found this one videographer and I showed it to John, and I was kind of like, yeah, they're great. But I think I was more focused on the money element.
Which
happens, you know, with suppliers.
But what use is the money if the end result isn't what you're, because you're still spending the money.
100%.
Do you know what I mean?
And it's not that much of a difference when it comes down to
crunching. There's not actually, from mid-tier and videography, there's actually not that big a jump between that and high-end
100%.
In Ireland. You know, like, look, it all adds up. Don't get me wrong.
It does.
And you know, when you're getting married, you're like, oh, it's an extra thousand, or it's a thousand. You may as well just get used to everything being an extra thousand.
Yes.
But like, if I was to say to you today, Aideen, I need $1,000, you'd be like, that's a lot of money. But when you're 100%. Thinking of wedding things, you're like, that's another thousand.
Yeah.
Sure, look.
Oh, What is it?
So
I showed it to John and he was like, I'm not sure. And I remember kind of being a bit, because I'm, again, very type A, I was a bit like, well, what are you saying? Like, you know, like, I've done all this research.
Yeah.
And then we looked at Little Bears and the two of us were crying within the first 15
seconds.
It's
unreal. Yeah.
And we were like, that's your answer. And we were both so happy we booked him
immediately. It's how the work makes you feel.
Yeah.
And that's what's important. So you got your full visual identity booked.
Yeah.
What then came after that?
Hair and makeup came after that. Yeah. So I have Shan Sharkey for hair.
Yes, very good. She's brilliant.
Sheen Sharkey, sorry.
Yeah.
Sheen.
Yeah.
And she's amazing. And she's done my hair many times and I love her so much.
Yeah, so you know she's had a good run at your hair.
Yeah.
So yeah, brilliant.
So I kind of begged her to come and travel for me because she doesn't typically travel. Yeah. But I was like, please. So she's going to travel.
Special case.
Yes, special case.
And who have you booked for makeup?
Selena G for makeup. A local.
Good.
She's local to the area and she's going
very
to be
well
stunning.
Respected. Okay, amazing. Yeah. So you got your date sensitive items booked.
Yes. Also, sorry, a quick one about the makeup.
Go that on.
I made a kind of a big decision on that was that I've actually decided to get two makeup artists.
Okay.
So she's going to have a second girl in with her because at the end of the day, I decided I didn't want to be asking my bridesmaids to be getting up at 5-6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So I actually want
You're
to
right.
have a lovely intimate, you know, morning with the girls where it doesn't feel rushed, it doesn't feel stressed. And I actually think that's been one of my decisions I had to sit with in terms of cost, but ultimately I'm actually really, really happy with that decision.
But that morning, people think, oh, we'll get ready in the morning. The morning is a really big part of your experience of your day. So like that getting ready phase is like such an emotional time. Mm-hmm. It's such a fun time. It's everything.
Yeah.
You know, it is, and it's like you're in your head so much. That has to be a really nice setup. And then you get on with the rest of the day, but you've this block in the morning to get through. So you're right. How many bridesmaids are you having?
I have four.
So
my sister and my three best friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it difficult to make your decision around
your
bridesmaids?
No, you knew
straight away.
Yeah.
And did you do, you did like a little invitation box for them, didn't you?
Yeah,
and you had like a gorgeous gift in it.
Yeah, I got them the tie the knot hoops from Railta, which they all still wear. And every time I see them, I'm like, that is so cute that they're all wearing them.
Yeah.
So I actually asked my mom a couple of days before I went and asked the bridesmaids. I said, who do you think it is? And she named all four of them
off the bat. Yeah.
So I think that's a really good sign, is if your parents know who it's going to be.
And how are they in terms of pulling their weight now as a bridesmaid?
Great.
Yeah?
Oh, brilliant.
No drama?
No, there won't be any.
No.
No.
You've picked the right squad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's it. When you know, you know. And does John have the same amount on his side? Are you going even numbers?
Yes,
we
are.
Four and four.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people to dress.
I know. He has three brothers, though. He's one of four boys. And his fourth is actually my brother.
Oh, that's
which
lovely.
Is so nice. When he said, when he told me, I nearly cried because it just felt a bit wrong for me to imagine that my brother would be the only sibling of the two families in a pew.
Yeah.
Just didn't feel right. So it's actually so
that's
nice.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
That's really nice. So you've got bridal squad done. Then you'd, so like you could sit on your laurels now.
I could a bit.
You could if you, but I bet you won't.
No.
You'll be getting awful carried away. We know about the head in you. So what have you not booked yet?
Okay, we haven't booked our ceremony / reception music.
Okay, that's fine.
But a lot of those...
Do you know what you want?
Yeah, we want
trad.
We'll do a trad.
Shout-out. You want trad?
Yeah, we want trad.
Okay, trad, yeah. Okay, so trad artists. Please.
Suggestions.
We need them. We need them. Okay.
Yeah. So we want the same people in the church and the reception. We want it to be like slower trad in the church.
Gotcha.
And then we want it to be like upbeat, like, you know, in the reception, like high energy,
hooli. Yes.
That's what we're looking
There's
for.
There's loads out there.
Ah, there is, We just have
to find the one.
Yeah.
I know. And you do have to go and look for it because it's not like, that's what I find with the trad artists. Apart from like the likes of Flog the Dog, who are brilliant, like not all of them have big profiles. They are kind of needle and haystack to kind of find, and you need a recommendation. So ceremony music, all of that. Is that it? Is that all that's left?
Flowers.
Oh, yeah. And what are you going to do flower-wise? Are you going to go fresh? Are you going to go dried? What are you
Well,
there's a story.
God bless the florist that I've tried. I've contacted a local florist and she's willing to work with me, but we need to just figure out the logistics of it because my mom has an incredible garden. Incredible. So I'm going to be using the flowers
from
my mom's garden. She has hundreds of one particular flower that represent her to me.
Oh, that is beautiful.
But also, I just think are so beautiful
but
in a bridal
not
bouquet.
Devastated, you're going to be
absolutely
clipping
not.
Half the garden.
She's delighted.
Out.
No, she's delighted.
Oh, isn't that beautiful?
Oh, she can't wait.
That is a gorgeous story, and it's sustainable. It's full circle.
And
I
it's
love that.
It's just because I'm not getting married at home. I think it's like a little piece of home.
Yeah.
And she has enough of this one particular flower to do my bouquet.
She'll be grand.
Bridesmaids, church, everything. Hundreds of this flower. So
it's just getting it to your location.
It's moving it from the southeast over to the west is what we need to figure out.
Okay, yeah. That'll be fine.
God
just
bless
digging
the
up the entire garden
yeah.
and shipping it in pots. No, but you know, you have to do these things, particularly when they're important to you. And it is that little, like those are the things that you remember and the stories you tell. It's not always the favours. It's not always that. It's those little trinkets. I love that.
Yeah.
So flowers, you know who you're going with, but you need the logistics.
Yeah.
And what else?
Dress.
Have you not got your dress sorted?
No.
I would have thought you'd be all over that.
I've been to two bridal shops and I found a dress that I adore.
Okay.
But I'm also like, is it too soon to choose it? Because I'm getting married in 2027.
Yeah, so if you got to this coming spring, would you be safe then? So March.
Yeah.
Get to March, yeah, because you need time for it to come in and all
100%,
of that.
100%, yeah. So that was in O'Brien's Bridal in Wicklow, because I'm from Arklow, so it's very close, and they're amazing in there.
Yeah.
I can't recommend them
They are
them
so highly recommended.
They are incredible.
And do you know what? So the thing is, the dress isn't going anywhere.
Exactly.
So if you can even get into the new year and it's still on your mind, you are not going to find anything else because that has now lived in your brain. Like no other dress is going to come close to it. So you are you're going to have to get it.
I haven't swayed on it.
Yeah.
So that's
a
good sign. But I also haven't. There is a video of it, but it's in a folder on my laptop and I'm only allowed access to it.
Yeah, no, you don't want to be overdoing it either.
No.
Okay. And are you going to do, are you doing a two dress number or just stick to
one?
One.
Yeah.
Keep it simple.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to be changing on my wedding day.
No, you want to keep as much time on the floor.
That will work throughout the day.
Got
so,
you. Okay.
Yeah, it'll be one dress for
me. Okay, I'm trying to visualise the style. But
I'm also going to be wearing my mom's wedding dress the night before. Yeah.
As it is.
I'm very, very small alterations. Just the sleeves are very tight. So I'm going to get the sleeves removed, but that's it. It's Basque waist. It's like got embroidery on it. It's just beautiful. So it doesn't need any work on it at all.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Yeah. Like, so your mum is really, really a big part of the day.
She's a huge part of my life.
Of course, you know. That's so lovely to bring those pieces in between the dress, the garden. Like, it's because I always think now, being a mum, I don't know if I really understood when I was getting married of like how much this is such a big day.
Oh, yeah.
Like, to think of any of my children getting married, like, Jesus, it's like, what do you mean I won't have a say in it? Like, do you know, it's so lovely to hear somebody actually really involving at that level. So it's beautiful. And like, you know, in terms of John's family, is there anything that they bring in? Are they musical in any way?
They're not musical, but they'll definitely be a huge part of the wedding
as
well.
Big part. Yeah. Okay.
They're fabulous. Like my second family now at this point, because we live in Dublin. John's from Dublin. So I see them more than I see my own family now.
I know. Yeah.
So they'll definitely be a big part of the wedding too.
Okay. And like in your whole planning now, right? Mm-hmm. And you've done quite a lot. Like I'm still like, geez, you've a lot done. I feel like shell-shocked. I'm like, normally girls at this stage are like, well, I think I might. No, you're like, it's done, tick. But, you know, has there been anything so far that's really made you sit back and go, Jesus, like that's mad? Or like, is there anything that's been controversial or upset you or annoyed you? Is there anything there so far? Because it is a funny wedding industry. You know?
I don't know. I think just the general like stress of planning is more so than actual things
trying
with
to bring
the
all
industry
these pieces together.
I do think everything's more expensive than you ever expect it. Yeah. And like whenever I put the TikToks up of the venues, people are like, "Is this how much a wedding costs in Ireland?" Yeah. I was like, "Yes, this is what everyone is paying to get married in an exclusive venue now."
And,
like,
and other countries will come and say to you, they'll go, "Oh, that's cheap in comparison." Like that's why so many Americans come here.
Yeah,
we have a fabulous product and it's significantly cheaper. But Ireland is, when you're living in it and the cost of living. It is expensive.
It's just how much it costs.
It is. Like. And look, you can shop the market and get great value, but it depends on what day you're looking for.
100%.
You know? So cost is being the biggest, like...
Yeah, I think so.
Have you stuck within your original budget?
Yeah.
You're not convincing anyone with your...
We have thus far, but we haven't booked everything, so
well,
it's probably going to
go
up.
That last 2 months is when everything is like, no, we will go for the Piper coming
in. Yeah, I think there'll be a few things that we will probably add in that will go over budget. But like, again, you know, like hopefully the flowers that will cook cost, which are obviously a huge cost, will be getting flowers from my wedding ring is going to be my great grandmother's ring. My day before dress is going to be my mom's wedding dress. So like we're using a lot of stuff that
you already have
like a bigger weight, but no cost behind them.
Yeah.
So I think it's like we're cutting corners in a more like organic way
but in a tone that's right for you from your sustainability lens as well.
Yeah. But then as a result, we're not afraid, let's say, for example, with the videographers, we weren't afraid to pay that little bit extra to get someone
on the stuff that matters. So it was very clear you had your like your things where you're willing to put the money in and other places where you're like, no, let's hold back a little bit.
We weigh everything up. We're definitely not just being like, oh yeah, feck it, we'll just get them, like just book it, just throw the money at it.
Yeah,
like we're not, we're really considering everything.
This day and age, because there's so many things like, and the cost of everything has just gone through the roof. So I completely get that. In your journey so far, is there anything that's given you a major ick? Like, do you have any wedding icks?
I think maybe the judgment of weddings. Like,
I know it's a spectator sport. It's like gladiator, isn't it?
Since becoming a bride, like a bride to be, a lot of the thing is if somebody else gets married, they're like, I didn't like her dress, or what did you think of this? And I'm kind of like, Jesus, if she was happy in it, like, you know. I think that creates an anxiety within yourself.
Because you think, what are people
saying? Is this what people are going to say on my wedding day?
They're not in the room. They don't matter.
So I think like maybe the ick is like the judgment of...
The judgment of it.
Or like, the comparison of things. Like, like I met this one girl. I can't believe I'm telling this story. But she's another, you know, she'd be in the media or whatever. And I met her one day and she goes, oh, congratulations on your engagement. And I said, thank you so much. She goes, oh, can I see your ring? I said, yeah. She goes, it's very dainty. And I thought,
oh my God.
Is that backhanded compliment of like, the most,
no,
you know.
I've looked at your ring. Your ring's beautiful. It's far from fucking dainty.
It's made, girl.
Oh, it's beautiful. The two stones.
But the word dainty for me gave a sense of that
underwhelming
same,
or something.
That
this
same
kind of,
thing that I'm talking
stunning.
About. But this is, I feel like there's a lot of competition. Who has the bigger rock on their finger?
Doesn't matter.
Who has the, you know, who has the best band? Who's, oh, we have our band book, by the way, as well.
Oh,
who has the, like, who has this? Who has that? And I think that's my ick, that it's a competition when, like, it shouldn't be competitive.
No, because it's your own personal path.
100%. Yeah. Like, at the end of the day, you do want the best service for yourself. You want your guests to have a good time. You want to have a good time. There comes a cost related to that. But you shouldn't be getting so stressed and wrapped up in what other people are doing to determine your decision on what works for you.
And that's one thing I always say, Aideen, is like, you won't please everybody when it comes to your wedding. Not even everybody in the room.
No.
Someone's going to have something about something.
Yeah.
So there's no point in even trying. Just suit yourself.
Yeah.
And maybe a few close others. I love that. What if you could give one piece of parting advice now that you're so wise?
Oh, God.
A wise bride one. One piece of good advice for somebody who's just starting out, because this is going to go out the height of engagement season, just after Christmas.
Okay.
What would you say to them?
I'd say narrow it down to maybe like 4 venues to go view.
Very good.
I just think we went to maybe 7 or 8. It was too much. We got decision fatigue.
Yeah.
It became like, you know, our very last wedding viewing. We actually did 2 in one day. And I could tell the coordinator was like, are you guys okay? Like, are you really
like,
disappointed?
Dead.
And we were just wrecked and exhausted. And we went to too many places. Keep it simple. Keep it to 3 or 4.
Yeah. And I couldn't agree more. Decision fatigue.
Decision fatigue.
Couldn't be dealing with it. Well, look, thank you very much, everybody. Aideen, I've learned so much from you.
Thank you.
I just love how transparent you've been. You've been doing a public service. You're doing the Lord's work for the brides and grooms of Ireland. Thank you so much. And thank you all for tuning in.